Have you ever tried something new, a new hobby, a new activity, but rather than just tiptoeing your way in, you jumped in with both feet? When Michelle and I got married, we decided we were going to be campers. We were going to go camping, so we bought the tent and we bought the sleeping bags, we had the lanterns and the cookware, and we bought everything for the dogs because, you know, we had dogs and we had the vehicle that was going to off-road us to these remote sites, and we were going to be camping people. That's how our marriage was going to start. I am confident that that tent was used twice at most. You understand, the first time out, you've got a dog that barks all night long. It rained. The cooking didn't go as well as it was supposed to. The wood was wet. It didn't want to catch fire. So then you're just eating cold hot dogs. There's bugs all over. It was miserable. And we decided we are not camping people. Unfortunately, we didn't have Facebook Marketplace yet to sell all of our stuff to other people who were going to be camping people. Maybe you have gotten into such oddities as you have said, I am going to be a sailor. I sail, so you bought a sailboat. Or maybe you got into beekeeping. I know some of you have gotten into cross stitch and all sorts of different crafts that you can buy, all sorts of different threads and yarn for. There's a million hobbies. Some of you have been canners. You know, you grow your own food and you can. And then when you found out Michelle and I were canning our own food, you boxed all your cans into box and you brought it to me and you said, you can have these because I don't do this anymore. We laugh about it because we've all gotten into different hobbies, different activities, where we're like, that's me, that's who I am, that's what I'm going to do. But then after a time, we give it up and we go, that's hard, that's not as fun, it's not as glamorous. Unfortunately, this is the story of far too many Christians. There are all sorts of people, and you, I'm sure, can think of some in your own life, who have excitedly embraced the message of Jesus. This is going to be amazing. This is so good. This is exactly what I need. I love going to church. I love the music. They're going to Bible study or they're coming to Sunday school, and you see the fire inside of them. But then over time, they drift away and you scratch your head thinking, what happened? How did they treat this just like any other activity or club where they're all in for a moment until they decide that they're not? I think part of the challenge here is that too many people decide to follow Jesus thinking that their entire faith journey is going to be a chart that's going up and to the right. Okay, so over time, if we go to the next slide, over time, your faith is consistently growing slowly and steadily the entire way. But anybody who's been a Christian for a while knows that is not what the Christian life looks like. That next week, I have a little deeper faith than this week. And next year, I'm a little better Christian than I am this year. That it's just a slow and steady, consistent growth towards God. Instead, the actual faith journey looks a lot more like a roller coaster. It goes up and down. It's got mountains and valleys. Next slide, please. Thank you. We've got the mountaintops, and that's where so many people start. And they're like, this is amazing, and I love it. And they think that they're going to stay on the mountaintop forever. But that's not what happens. They're like Peter in the Transfiguration in the Gospels. He and James and John join Jesus on the mountaintop, and the glory of God shows up, and the voice from heaven says, this is my son, and I'm well pleased, my dearly beloved son. And Elijah and Moses show up, and Peter says, quick, let's throw some tents up, and let's stay here forever. But as Christians, we don't get to stay on the mountaintop. We come back down to reality. And sometimes we're hit with the deep, dark valleys. Life gets really hard. There's a death in the family that shakes you. You get a diagnosis. Your health is never going to be the same. Somebody you deeply respect in the Christian circles says that they're no longer a Christian. And it just completely shakes your faith, and you end up in this pit of despair, feeling all sorts of doubt. And it's in that moment that a lot of people say, I'm out. It was great for a while when I was on the top, but now I'm at the bottom and I don't want this. For some other people, it's more a story of there's excitement, but like every hobby that we've ever tried following, all of us have done, eventually the excitement fades. And there's work. When you buy something new, you know, you're going to go jeeping out in Colorado, there's maintenance to the vehicle. You have to buy more of it. Sometimes there's just hard work and practicing and committing yourself to the hobby or the activity. And people say, oh, I don't want to stick with that. Same thing with our faith life. You get to the point where there is consistency that's required of you. There's maintenance in your faith life that's required of you. And in that moment, people are like, ah, but I want to do something more fun. So I'm going to do this instead on Sunday morning. I'm going to do that instead on Sunday morning. I'm going to chase this. That'll be better. And so it's really just being choked out by the cares of life. And this is essentially the subject that we're tackling today in this final message on the All In series, okay? Our final topic here is being all in for a lifetime. Being all in, not just for a moment, not just right now, because you're like, I feel Jesus right now, I'm growing, but 3 years from now, we'll see what's going on, and maybe I'm going to step out. It's saying, today, I'm making the decision to commit myself to be all in for the rest of my life, regardless of what the circumstances throw on me. Going back a slide, I missed it in my notes. I like this. You have to determine that you are going to hold on to Jesus. This is what our challenge is for all of us today, to make this decision in our hearts that regardless, I'm leading with the end right now, okay? Write this down. This is where we're going to land. Regardless of where circumstances take you in life, we have to be a people that say, my circumstances don't determine my faith, because whatever goes on in my life doesn't change what happened to him on the cross 2,000 years ago. That's true, period. And so I am all in for all of life. Nothing's going to move me from this decision that I have made to follow a risen Savior. Jesus describes what's going on, though, in so many of the people's lives that we've seen around us, where they follow Jesus for a short time and then they leave when he teaches this parable of the sower. It's in Matthew and in Luke. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. It's a familiar passage. Jesus teaches this parable. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. So Jesus here is talking about the person who has doubts, who has no foundation. And he's talking about the busy person who doesn't have the time to be all in on Jesus. These are the thorny ground or the rocky soil. It springs up real fast. It's excited to follow Jesus, but there's no root. There's no foundation. There's no growth. And when life gets hard, they hit that valley of darkness and they're like, ah, that's not for me, I'm out. Or the person who grows up and the thorns completely crowd out, so it's not able to grow and it gets choked out. That's the person who just gets so busy with kids' sports and family events, and oh, I've got to do this, and my world's so busy, I just need to sleep in a little bit later. God will understand. And in all these ways, we're crowded out, we're pushed out, and Jesus is not the main thing. You're not all in, and ultimately those plants die. And it's not just Christians today. This has been happening through all of time. Even the Apostle Paul, as famous as he was, going around traveling and raising up churches, tells a story about a guy named Demas, who was a missionary with him, who went with him in his missionary journeys. And then later in life, when he writes his letter, 2 Timothy, to his young apprentice Timothy, he talks about how Demas actually abandoned him. And he blames it on Demas' love for the things of the world. Essentially, he was one who got crowded out by all the other stuff in life. And so following Jesus was a cool, pretty hobby for a while, but it didn't hold him until the end, and he walked away. But there's the final situation in that parable of the sower. It's the person who's all in, the seed that falls on good soil. The person who hears the word of God and responds. For that person, there's a huge crop. Jesus describes 100, 60, or 30-fold. There's just a ton of fruit. The fruit in that person's life is that their life is transformed. They're making a difference in the lives of the people around them. They're being a witness and being light to others to see this is what it can look like when you follow Jesus. There's just all these different blessings flowing through their life because they have chosen to stay all in. It wasn't just for a season. It wasn't just a blip. Being all in for a lifetime means surrendering to God in every facet of your life every day. Jesus is really clear on this point when he taught in Luke 9, verse 23. He said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." The Christian life is not a moment. So many people think, but I can remember the time that I decided to give my life to Jesus, and so I'm a Christian. And even though they don't live in relationship with God in Christian community, they don't read their Bible, they don't listen to teachers, they don't connect with other people, they don't pray, but they're like, but I got saved at that country church 70 years ago. Look, Jesus calls us to follow him. That means that this faith is a journey. I use that language a lot, a person's faith journey, because it's not a singular moment. There's not like a finish line where you're not a Christian and you cross the line of faith and now you are a Christian and you're done. That line is more of a starting line. You're not a Christian, and now you're going to start following Jesus, and this is the starting line, and the finish line is when you breathe your last breath. And we're in the race for our entire lives, following him. And as this verse says, it is a daily adventure, because we all know some days are better than others. Some days it's a lot easier to follow Jesus than other days. Some days you want to pretend you're not a Christian and let that person really know what you're thinking. And Jesus says, you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him every single day. There's all these ups and downs, and we go through it. We commit ourselves to sticking with Jesus every day, every month, every year, all the way into the future. That's what's described by the Apostle Paul for us in Hebrews 12. We have to understand this faith journey is a really long time. Like, some of you became Christians when you were children or teenagers. From that point until the end of your life, you don't think about it when you become a Christian. You're like, this is great. I'm going to church this week. But there's going to be a lot of weeks and a lot of Sundays from that first time you decide to follow Jesus until the end of your life. It's a long, long time. It's a lot of days to daily deny yourself and follow him. And that's why we have to be committed to going through all the challenges and all the setbacks you're going to experience. Your life will be a roller coaster of ups and downs over and over. And when you get to the top, you don't go, oh, I finally made it. You go, this is great. I'm going to appreciate it. I'm glad that Jesus is giving me this moment. This is wonderful. And then when you get into the valleys, you go, I know that this is only for a moment. And I'm going to come back out of this. And it's okay. Jesus will bring me through it. But there's just going to be a lot of those ups and downs. We have to be ready to persevere through that. back to Hebrews, this is what Paul wrote. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. This world's trying to hold us back, trying to keep us from following Jesus. We got to let all that stuff go and let us run. Again, this language of the journey, the race. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. First, Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I like the translation, author and perfecter. He starts it. You don't really start your faith. Jesus is the one who starts your faith story. And he's the one who's going to see it through to the very end. Praise God. That's good news. It's not completely up to you. And this whole message, as I talk about holding on to faith, is not completely on your shoulders to do it. We worship a God who is the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. The perfecter of your faith is going to help you persevere. That's what I know about Jesus. Second, your Savior, Jesus, endured opposition from sinners. He endured betrayal, wild accusations, and ultimately the cross. We know that about Jesus. He's not calling us to persevere through a lifetime, and yet he never had to persevere through hardships. He did the very same thing. He endured, so he understands. And so he is asking us, you know, he did his job. He held out hope. He never gave up on us while we were still sinners. He died for us. And now we can't give up on him. We can't say, but Jesus, you don't understand. This life has gotten hard. When I became a Christian, I didn't expect this. I didn't expect this hardship. He said, no. I went through the hard stuff because I love you. And he wants us, because we love him, to say, we're going to go through the same valleys. We're going to go through hard stuff. And he's right there waiting for us, calling us, finish the race, get to the end. It's going to be worth it. So today, here are a couple of keys to prepare you to hold on to your faith until your final breath. First, determine today that faith in Jesus isn't something you're just going to try on, but this is who you are. Some people try on faith like, you know, let's see how this jacket fits. I'm going to go to church a little bit. I'm going to pray a little bit. I'm going to see what happens. And that's okay in the beginning. Honestly, it's how some people realize, like, this is for me. But there's a point you've got to just stop trying it on, and you have to say, I am a follower of Jesus. I am a child of God. This is my identity first and foremost. I follow Jesus. All my decisions are rooted in my faith. This isn't just a part, a facet of my life on Sundays because I go to church. This is all of who I am. You have to make that decision deep inside of you, or when life gets hard, it's easy to just hit the eject button. Secondly, you have to embrace the routine of the Christian life. Yes, being a Christian, it's a lot of days. It's a lot of weeks. It's going to be a lot of prayer. It's going to be a lot of disappointment. It's going to be a lot of asking Jesus to forgive you for your mistakes, because you're going to screw up a lot. And I screw up a lot. And we do this over and over and over. Wash, rinse, repeat. We pray and we read the Bible and we do these things. And some people are like, but this is old. I'm tired of this. But this is what the faith journey looks like. Jesus gave us these spiritual disciplines because these are what carry us through a lifetime of challenges. So we embrace the Christian life. We embrace these things that Jesus told us to do, because in the difficulty, in those seasons when you don't want to get out of bed and come to church, in those seasons when you're just feeling like, God, are you even real? You push in, you lean in, and you just keep going through the motions, because that's where God has the opportunity to meet you in prayer and in scripture. Third, participate in the family of God. We were raised and created to go through this faith journey together. You are going to run much further in life with a running partner than you are all by yourself. If you're trying to work out every morning all by yourself and there's nobody holding you accountable, I'll give you like 2 weeks and you're going to give up. That's the norm. When you join a class, when you join a club, when you've got a partner that you're going to work out with, that you're going to go running with every week or a couple times a week, you're much more likely for that to keep on going when you're doing it with somebody else. That's why being a part of the family of faith here, people who know you, who care about you, who notice when you miss 3 weeks in a row and they send you a note and say, hey, we've missed you at church. What's going on? Can I pray for you about something? It matters that you get involved and you meet other people and you find ways to serve and you find ways to give and you make this family your family. That's how we carry ourselves through to the very end. That's how we're able to be a blessing to the Grubel family when Colleen passes away, because she didn't just go through the end of her life by herself. She had a family of faith to lift them up and support them and take care of them, and that's a really beautiful thing. But it's not just at the end of life. It's also when you're really struggling. The final point, when you're really struggling, you have got to just share your struggles with others. And that's where the family of faith is there for you as well. You don't just hide it. You don't just slink away when you're starting to have doubts and be like, I'm going to stop going to church. I don't know if this is real. I don't know if God actually sees me or cares about me. I'll just stop praying. I'll stop going to church. That's when you have to lean in. You have to share with somebody, I am really struggling with my faith right now. I feel like everything's against me. And that's when you have other people lock arms with you and help carry you and say, I know you're going through a hard time. I've been there. And you know what? God's not done with you. You're just in the fog and you're not seeing clearly. But let me guide you in this journey. Let me help you through this journey, through this valley of darkness. You'll get back to the next mountaintop, I promise. Like, we go through our journeys of faith, yes, with God, by ourselves, but we do it together. We're doing it together. And it's by being a part of this church that each one of us is going to be more successful in reaching to the very end. So when you're hitting that place where you're like, I don't know, that's when I encourage you, lean in, reach out, pray like you've never prayed before. And see how God answers that prayer. I believe he will. And it'll open your eyes and put you to the next mountaintop experience. When we hear about heroes of the faith, people that have fulfilled their life as a Christian to the very end, we think about people like the Apostle Paul, who was beaten, he was jailed, and he just kept preaching. We think about people like Mother Teresa, who was among the poorest of the poor, and she served them to her very last breath. We think about Billy Graham going and preaching in stadiums all around the world, and we're like, that is incredible. Those are the heroes of the faith. But there are many, many other heroes of the faith. Listen to what is written in James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Right here in this church, we have known many heroes of the faith who have received the crown of life, the Normas and the Patties, and the Bills, and the Colleens, that have lived their lives faithfully serving Jesus and loving him with all their heart and being a part of this body. And yes, they all went through challenges, they went through valleys, but they stuck in it together and they made it to the end. And James tells us they're all wearing the crown of life. And that's available to every single one of you. who makes that decision and says, I'm going to be all in, not just for this moment, not just because this series has me fired up, and I'm going to be all in till Thanksgiving when Christmas gets really busy and I forget about that decision that I made, but I'm going to be all in for a lifetime. Because I'm determining this is who I am. I'm a child of God, and that God who did what he did on the cross for me, that doesn't change regardless of my circumstances. So regardless of how I feel, understanding my feelings change, they wander, that doesn't matter. I'm going to stand on the rock of my belief. And when I have doubts, I'm going to reach out. We can have that reward. So this series, this whole series now, it's coming to a conclusion here. It has been a challenge to all of us to get off the fence, to stop just being partially in. As one person said, I had one cheek on the fence for a while. We do that. We hold back. But God's calling for our whole heart. He's saying, I want you all in. Some of you might still be thinking, well, what does all in mean? It means just surrendering all of your decisions, all of your thinking, trying to live obediently to God. When you're called out in something in scripture and a message to do something how God wants you to do it, rather than saying, that's not for me, and saying, no. If I'm all in, if I choose Jesus for my life, then I'm going to respond. I want this for me. Because I know that God wants this for me. He wants the best for me. Maybe for some of you, this series has led you to consider following Jesus for the first time. If that's you, praise Jesus. And I encourage you, tell somebody that you've made that commitment. Tell them today. Let them know that this over the course of this series somewhere, you decided you're ready to follow Jesus. Share that with somebody. Tell me on the way out. I want to hear that from you. And I hope after today that all of you decide it's time to be all in on Jesus. Determine this is who you are. This is how you're going to live. Be better than me and Michelle at being campers. It lasted a month. Don't let this just be that season that people go, remember that time that you got all in on church? Man, that was so weird. Say, no, it was never a season. It's the rest of my life. That time was the time I decided I'm never going back. Even though I know life is going to be a roller coaster, I'm in both feet and I'm never letting go. Make that decision today that we would be a church who is all in for an entire lifetime. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?